first, I want to thank Mike for inviting me here tonight to share my experience on the four step with you guys. It's always great coming to this meeting. I'm a member of this group, although I don't get here often anymore. Whenever I get asked to come here and share, if at all possible, I do. So I'm just I'm grateful to be here, and thanks again to Mike for inviting me. And to all the new guys, it was great seeing. I mean, it's great seeing such a full house. First off, and then all the new guys, everybody raised their hand, introduced themselves. I welcome to this meeting. You know, whether you couldn't stop drinking, smoking, shooting, snorting, whatever it was, whatever got you here, you're welcome here. And, you know, I know for me, I came into this meeting almost 6 years ago now. and it was a life-changing, life-changing event for me, you know, to come here and to get introduced to the other men in this group, to develop those relationships, to have a sponsor, to take them through this process. And I had, honestly, coming here for the first time, I had no idea really what I was getting into. I had been in and out of AA for, a little while. I was in my, mid-30s when I got here. And I've been bouncing around AA for a few years. And, of course, you hear about the 12 steps, right from when you walk in the door. But I never really, I thought I knew what they were all about. I thought I read it on the wall. And I thought I understood. I never knew there was an actual process to doing this, and not only that, but the process is right here in the big book. So, I came here really just because I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop using. I couldn't stop drinking. I couldn't stop drugging. I couldn't stop screwing my life up, getting into trouble. And I came here just to stop all that. And fortunately. Through this work, I've been able to do that, but I've also gotten so much more that I never would have expected or I never thought possible. When I'm originally from New Hampshire, when I came down to when I came to the Cape, I was coming here for a week of detox, and again that was almost 6 years ago now, and that was my plan was another detox, maybe some more treatment, and then go back home with all the answers and live life. And fortunately, that just, that's not how things worked out. God had a different plan. I've done my best to allow him to guide me. Certainly not perfectly. Certainly made plenty of mistakes along the way and done plenty of things wrong. And but at this point, I do the best I can. So I got into this process pretty quickly in my recovery, and I had a sponsor. I met a guy at a big book meeting, asked him to sponsor me. And we started on this process, and, I'm here to share my experience really just on this part of the four step. So I'm going to try to stay as close to that as I can. I'd heard about the four step. Right, just like I heard about the steps, and I heard people talk about writing in notebooks and stuff like that. I never really knew what any of it meant, but just the thought of, you read it, it's like writing, write down all these resentments, write down all these people and places and, ideas that had harmed you and, oh my God, how do you do that? How do you even begin to do that? And, that's what I strongly recommend. If you're in this room and you're thinking about doing this, do not try to attempt this on your own, because you absolutely will need guidance. You will need somebody there to help you through this process, because it's not easy. At least for me, it was not easy to do. But when we got to this point, when I got to the first two steps, and I knew we were going to be taking a third step and, praying together. My sponsor, told me, make sure, get a notebook, have a pen, have a notebook. We used to meet a few different places. This particular time, we were meeting at his house, and he said, we're going to we're going to go over the third step, and I want you to have a notebook and a pen with you, because just like it talks about in this book, you get right to work, right? You get right to work. You know, you don't do the third step and then, you know, think about the fourth step for 6 months and then contemplate whether or not you want to do it, because if you do that, you're not going to do it. So we read the third step, and we did that, and as awkward as it is, I know it is for a lot of people, you know, we sat there in an empty house, and I couldn't help but, like, look out the windows and see if anybody was standing in the front yard, you know, looking in to see me on my knees praying with another dude, you know, because I hadn't done the next step, and I hadn't, you know, looked at my character defects and understood my fears and understood that I'm really not that important, and nobody gives a shit if I'm standing in somebody's living room praying. So we did that, and he basically said, all right, we went over just as it talks about in this book. You know, we're not going to do things differently. We weren't going to do things his way. We were going to do things the way it's written in this book, right? So you're going to make your list. You're going to talk about the people that have harmed you, the institutions that have harmed you, the principles that have affected you, and you start making your list. Right, so that was, that was easy. And he, in terms of, you know, coming up with the list, because it was, you know, he had guidelines of, this is how often you're gonna do it, and you're gonna pray before you do it. Right, you're gonna ask for help. You're not doing this on your own. This is not necessarily the list that David wants to write. Right, this is a list that's God's gonna help you write this list. Right, so you're gonna pray. You're gonna ask for help. You're not going to question the names that come into your mind. You're not going to sit there and contemplate, well, you know, is that somebody I really have resentment with or not? He told me if the name comes in your head, you write it down. You know, so that's what, that's what I did. And I did that again with the people, the institutions and principals. And, you know, I don't know if I had a really long list or a short list or I don't know. I had my list. You know, and I went over it, you know, a handful of times. And after writing the list, I spent some time on each section. I would just determine whether or not that I had, you know, if I was finished or not. And, you know, it was kind of explaining to me, hey, listen, you know, if down the road or, you know, if you take a year to write the rest of this, you're probably going to add some more names on the list. So, you know, it's okay. But we started moving forward in the first part of this. You talk about the causes and effects. And, I couldn't wait. You know, I couldn't wait to write, you know, how some of these people had, you know, pissed me off. You know, I couldn't wait to write what they did, you know, what these people did to me. You know, I had, you know, coaches, you know, I sports are a big part of my life. So I had, you know, coaches who did something wrong, who didn't, play me in the right position or give me the right chance to succeed or, you know, took opportunities away or started somebody else over me. I could pretty much, you know, take out the high school yearbook and every girl in there who talked to me and immediately didn't want to sleep with me, well, she was on there, you know. Whether I had spoken to them or, you know, even made any attempt to ask them out or anything like that. Or whether they even, you know, they don't have any free will on their own. You know, that's what I wanted. So I had a resentment for them not, immediately wanting that. And just, family. I mean, the list of family, friends, you know, I mean, everything. You know, because everything pissed me off. You know, everything. If somebody didn't do things the way I wanted them to do it, like, I was mad. You know, why don't you understand that this is what I want? You know, how can you not, you know, how can you not read my mind and tell that I want you to, you know, act a certain way or do a certain thing? And it, you know, it's funny now, you know, when you think about it and you think about some of the ridiculous resentments that I had, you know, and in times like when I'm working with other guys and I've gone back through and I'm reading some of this, I'm like, oh my God. You know, or just when I, you know, not to get ahead, but just reading the fifth step, you start reading things like, what, you know, what is wrong with me? You know, what's wrong with me is I'm an alcoholic, right? I'm selfish, I'm self-centered, I'm an egomaniac, full of fear, you know? So, So the people, again, it was an important thing, was keeping things in order, you know, the names, the cause and effects, you know, where it caused my, you know, self-esteem. And I know he shows you to bracket that in fear. I mean, fear is like on every, you know, just about every resentment. You know, there's some type of fear, you know, pride, you know, my ego, you know, always getting in the way. You know, then you look at, you know, the pocketbook and the sex relations and, you know, the different things that these resentments affect, and you go through and you list them all up, you know. And you know, I got off to a good start, and then it's like I said, you know, for me it was hard staying focused, it was hard staying committed. I just moved to Cape Cod, summertime was coming, you know, like it was nice, there's beaches, people want to go fishing. You know, like, do I want to sit in my house and write, or do I want to, you know, go have ice cream with the girls, you know, or, you know, do I want to go to a meeting and come home after write, or do I want to go sit by a bonfire, you know? Those decisions were difficult at times, you know. Do I want, you know, Susie to come over? Yes, I do, but, you know, am I going to be able to write if she's there? No. I won't. You know, so that was, the, you know, these are just real things that came up with me while I was doing this. You know, girls get in the way, you know, I mean, everything. I think, I don't know, somebody once told me, your house is never going to be as clean as it was where you're writing your fourth step. You know, you will come up. All my laundry has not been done since I finished this. You know, you come up, I came up with every excuse in the book, you know, not to write. And if you think about it, like, this is such an important practice to do, and such an impactful part of this whole process, to look back on it and think, man, like, why did I, you know, why was this so hard? It's kind of, you know, I'm an undisciplined alcoholic, you know, and I had never... I don't want to say nothing, but it had been a long time since I had started something and actually finished it. Honestly. I cheated my way through plenty of things, but to actually sit down and take an honest inventory and take an honest look at this, all right? It had been a long time, so it was hard. You know, and then finally, when I got to the point where I, you know, I was done looking at the cause and effects in this, if for whatever reason, I've been reading this and coming to this meeting and listening to people speak, and I forgot about the whole turnaround, right? So then I thought I was all right, I'm done, you know. And I really just started to scratch the surface. So, you know, what is important, like I talked about, is that it was very easy for me to blame other people, right? It was very easy for me to blame the coaches, the women, the parents, the bosses, the people I didn't know that I got in fights with in my head that didn't know they were in fights with me, you know. It was easy to look at what they did wrong. I never thought of, you know, my side of the street, like it talks about in this. You know, most of us had only gotten to that point. We were well aware of who we could blame, all right, but... With this next part of this, which is we call the turnaround, you go back through this entire list, and I would not have written such a long list had I known I was going to have to continuously go back and reanalyze all these names and all these resentments, and you know. But maybe that's why it was, you know, I hadn't heard about this part yet. So anyways, you get to the turnaround and you look at the four things, and where's I selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and frightened, right? You apply that to all these resentments. And my experience was it was the same stuff over and over again, right? It became very repetitive with the cause and effects, and then also with the turnarounds. You know, I wanted things my way. You know, I wanted people to act the way I wanted them to act. I did not think people should have the right to make their own decisions. Okay, you know, I lied to myself about situations to make them fit my agenda. Right, I lied about the reality, what was really happening. You know, I had this one one of my representatives I'm running is a college baseball coach. And, you know, I had gone to this school and I was, you know, told this was going to be my role. And I was excited and you know, things were going well. And I got there and, you know, after two, I ended up transferring after a couple of years. And I told myself, I told everybody else, yeah, you know, the coach was an asshole and, you know, he never gave me a chance and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, everybody knew that I should have been, you know, the starter and I wasn't, and blamed everybody else. You know, then I take a look at this and it's like, well, I wanted everybody else to, I really, like, every time somebody else would go out and I was a pitcher, somebody would go out and pitch, I wanted them to fail. They were my teammates. Like, I'd want them to fail, right, to give me an opportunity. You know, I'd be happy, like, ah, yeah, like that kid, like, he got lit up today, you know. You know, maybe I'll get my chance. You know, when I got opportunities, I did not make the most of them. He'd give me chances, and I'd screw them up. I remember one time we had a game against UConn, and I hadn't pitched in a while, and I think it was, like, the day after they had won the NCAA tournament in hoops. And, like, me and my – so, of course, I didn't expect to play, so we were up partying, drinking like crazy all night, no sleep, show up to the game. And, like, he tells me to go in the, you know, seventh inning or something like that, and I sucked. You know, I'm, like, hitting guys square in the back, throwing to the backstop, you know, giving – like, just – I'm saying, I mean, I couldn't see – I mean, it was brutal. is it his fault that I was up all night drinking, partying, you know? Or was that, did I put myself in a position to truly make the most of an opportunity should it occur? You know, but I get really good at that. I get really good at blaming everybody else until I started looking at this, you know. Fear, you know, I was afraid of everything. You know, I was so afraid of what everybody thought of me, what was going to happen, you know, the financial insecurity, the, you know, I don't have enough friends. I have too many friends, like, I want to be in a relationship, but not with this girl. I want that girl, you know. I'm never, you know, I can't live up to my father's expectations. Like, you know, all these just like crazy, this crazy stuff. But then, you know, again, when you start doing these turnarounds, you start just focusing on, you know, what did I really do? You know, where was I selfish? Where was I self-centered? I only cared about me. You know, and dishonest, just constant lying to do whatever I had to do to suit my agenda, to suit whatever it is that I, you know, I felt should happen. And then just being full of fear, you know, throughout my entire life, you know, really up until the, I had no idea. And you guys will, you know, get more into the specifics of this next week in the next part of the fourth step, in the fear part. But you had no idea. The role that I didn't know what it was, but again, I don't want to jump ahead here. At this point, you know, in doing this, a few things I noticed. One, as I'm going through this process, I start to notice my thinking starts to change. Right, as you're doing it, I started to see things differently. You know, because the same people are still out there, right? The same things, you know, you still have bosses, still in relationships, still have family, still have all these people that are going to be in my life that I'm going to have to deal with. So if I continue to look at things the same way, well, I'm just going to be writing four step after four step after four step. You know, no thank you, you know. So my thinking started to change because I didn't want to keep thinking that way. I didn't want to always be pissed off. I didn't want to always be angry, you know. So... that was one of the biggest things to notice. I don't remember exactly when it happened. It was at some point, you know, in writing the turnarounds, that whole thought process, you know, when situations would arise, you know, when I would get a resentment, and this, you know, gets in a little bit tense, but when I would get a resentment and looking at it, through the lens of, you know, the turnaround and what could I do differently? And, you know, how am I just being selfish? Am I just being self-centered? How am I being dishonest? You know, and that was a huge thing because it just, you know, you just start kind of, I just started, you know, cranking through this. And again, that one, you know, it's still the remaining discipline was difficult for sure. You know, it's not always easy looking at what you've done wrong. You know, it's not always easy looking at kind of how much of a the piece of shit you were. You know, it's not easy to do. But see, kind of, you get past it, and you just crank through it. And you just write, and you write, and you don't stop writing. And I say, coming here, and you know, the number of men that I, you know, grew close with in this group that were, you know, helping me, and there was a few guys, other guys that were writing along the way. You know, if you guys are in here, the guys that are, you know, writing right now, you know, I know it's, I get it, it's not easy, but just, you'll keep doing it, whatever you have to do. And don't beat yourself up if maybe you didn't do it as fast as you want, you know, you thought you should do it, or, you know, somebody else, you know, that you know is writing and they, you know, finished before you did. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, you just get through it. Whatever, you know, whatever it takes, however long it takes, just keep, you know, keep plugging away at it. And this is, God, this is just so important. I feel like you could talk about this stuff forever. And, you know, it's, you know, to, again, trying to stay just on, you know, this part of the four step, like, this particular part of the writing changed my life so much. I wouldn't, Ronnie reminded me, when I get it, the last time I was here was just before my son was born. And, I have two kids now, under 2 years old, which is another reason I was thankful Mike got me out of the house tonight.
That's why I asked. Got you.
And if I fall asleep later on in the meetings, wake me up. But I wouldn't be the person, I wouldn't be the partner, the father, you know, the person I am today if it wasn't for the four step, which starts here at this point. If I continued looking at things the way I used to look at them, you know, I can only imagine how much resentment I'd have towards my, you know, 2-year-old daughter for keeping me up at night, you know, or my, you know, 2-month-old kid for throwing up on the couch, you know, or something, you know. And now it's just like those things, it's like, man, like, this is life, you know. Life happens, and you know, this is part of the teaching of how do we deal with it. You know, how do we deal with life on life's terms, and you know, we do the best we can. And you know, to think that once I did this, everything's been perfect, and I, you know, absolutely not. And there's steps down the road to help us with that, but you know, life is life. Sometimes it's awesome. Sometimes it's extremely difficult. But, you know, again, especially for the new guys, if you were in here and, like, life really fucking sucks right now, you know, maybe you're in treatment, you know, maybe you're in a halfway house or whatever, and you're just, like, you know, trying to figure, like, what the hell, you know, what the hell am I going to do? You know, this is as good a place to start as any. Find a guy to take you through this process, introduce yourself, ask for help. There's a million guys I know in here that helped me, and I know would help, you know, anybody else who puts their hand up. So don't be afraid to, you know, to do that after the meeting. You know, ask for help and just, you know, let somebody guide you through this. You know, again, it's been, it's great coming back here, you know, and Mike again, you know, seeing so many familiar faces, and Mike for asking me to come out here tonight. And thank you all for letting me share my experience in this part of the four step. Thank you.
Read this, it's important. If you're completely on 10 steps, I'm the Big Book, Alcoholics Anonymous, experience, and the step being discussed tonight.